events can be fluid. It's not unheard of for group members to ebb and flow and for sounds to evolve along with the members. But what happens when a band, known for being a collective, cuts it all back to just three members? This is what Dorsal Fins have done with their third album, Star of the Show, which is their most eclectic yet. They started back in 2014 as a mixture of artists from Sasquatch, Eagle and the Worm, The Bamboos, New Gods, and they released two albums in as many years. But now, 6 years after their second album, they return as a trio with core members Ella Thompson, Liam McGorry, and Jared Brown, continuing the Fins story. And we're so excited to have Jared with us today to discuss the new album and everything in Dorsal Fins' world. How are you going, Jared?
Hey guys, thanks so much. Thank you so much for having us. Yeah, really appreciate it. Things are going pretty okay in the Dorsal Fins world. We actually managed to catch up today for it's like our album staff party today. It's like a celebration, like debrief today. So, yeah.
We're so happy to
breakfast.
Have you.
We had breakfast. The sun was out.
I heard the sun was out in Melbourne today. That's a good thing. It was out here too. It's a beautiful weekend.
Yeah, we actually might have to put up a couple of photos. It was a good breakfast. We had the dogs there as well. It was our album staff party.
Love it.
Well, we're so happy to have you guys back after, you know, a pretty long time. It's your first album in 6 years as Dorsal Fins and 4 years after announcing that hiatus. When did you know it was time to get the band back together again? How did you start making music
We
again?
Didn't really know at all. We were just, it was, you know, somewhere during COVID. I don't know when, or maybe it was before COVID. I mean, Liam and Ella and I always jam or like hang out. We're always in each other's pockets doing something or stealing each other's ideas or, you know, like helping each other out with songs or, you know, just loitering at each other's studios. So yeah, we just made a bunch of music together and, we started sort of putting a few things together and, it came together really nicely. Liam has a studio which was 50 meters down the road from my house. So, you know, in between just like hanging out at the local bakery and stuff like that, we just ended up at his place so much. And, you know, after a while, it's sort of just like, oh, damn, like we actually might be accidentally making an album here. What do we do? So, yeah, we kind of did it like that. And, you know, it's a nice way to do things, I guess, when things come together like that without too much of a plan. But, yeah, we're really, really lucky to be able to put things together and collaborate with the three of us. We all sort of write. We all, as I say, like we've all written together for so long that it's sort of, yeah, it's always pretty low key when we get together and, you know, we can all sort of do different things and, you know, so yeah, it was a fun one to make as well, especially to get it done during the last few years was sort of one of the highlights, I guess.
You used to have 9 members plus a whole heap of collaborators. It used to be a massive project and now it's distilled down to 3. What did that change about the dynamic of it all? How did that come across in the creation of it?
Yeah, for sure. Like I say, I guess when we started, we sort of didn't realize we sort of knew what we're doing. Our 9-piece band's super special. We still play with a pretty big band. I think our album tour is probably going to be like 7. So it's not always that much different when we're playing live now. It's not going to be, you know, it's still that sort of big energy live. But we did it mostly with the three of us and John Castle as well, who is a close friend of ours and just amazing guy to have around, super talented studio person. He was sort of like the fourth member of the band in the studio. And he rounded it out for us along with a couple of other friends, just doing bits and pieces. But that's similar to how we did some of the, the earlier couple. I guess this is like the third Dawes Finns album, but, you know, the other Dawes Finns albums were sort of similar. I remember the second album, we did do it more as we probably wrote it a little bit individually. Liam wrote a fair bit and then Ella and I wrote a bit. And then we did do it with a full whole bunch of people in the studio. The album before that, probably less so. It was probably the first album was probably a little more like this one, where it was sort of more of a scaled back studio approach. But I guess when you're in there, you just end up doing so many different things. When you've got like a home studio, when you've got, you're demoing in your bedroom, then you might be working in your friend's studio. So yeah, it was a pretty cool process. And between the three of us and John, we pulled something together over the course of probably a year, I reckon. There was probably a couple of lockdowns in between we're doing. So there was probably a couple of little stretches where we had to keep things quiet, but
I read that it was created over a year of Sundays. It was Sunday like the day.
It could have been. I don't know why that is. No, I don't know. Yeah, that just could have been our day off or something. But yeah, we all actually teach. So like we're all teaching music and we've all got a couple of days off here and there. So like we do catch up during the week. But I guess Sunday no one's teaching, right?
Yeah. That's your free day to create for yourself, maybe.
Sure.
You sort of mentioned John Castle a few times there. Obviously, he's worked with people like Megan Washington, Vance Joy, but it sounds like he's an old mate. When you say he's like the fourth member of Dawes Finns, what did he add to it? What did he do in the production room, in the recording sort of, process that really made him become that fourth member?
Yeah, so John's one of those annoying guys who's sort of like he doesn't even play any instruments like officially. He's just a studio like engineer, producer, mixer guy. But he's one of those annoying guys that's still like better than you at your instrument that you studied when you were like 20 at jazz school. You studied for like to get your diploma. He's still better than you at that. So he's like he's one of those guys that's just. He can just do anything. I mean, he's a great bass player. He does in his sort of past lives, he's played a lot of bass for a lot of different people and incredible bass player. But he's just one of those, can do it all, does everything. Super special guy. Like, absolutely love him. So, he does everything. He played a fair bit of drums on the record.
Yeah, I was wondering how you break
like,
up.
How
do you break
I'm
up?
I'm a bass
the
player, sort
yeah.
of by yeah. by like my like trade or whatever you want to call it, like whatever you want to sort of call it. That was my sort of studying thing, and yeah, there was a couple where it was like, all right, pick up the bass, Jared, sort of get this organized, and I just can't do it like in front of John. Like,
oh no, really?
I can't do it. Like, I'm just like, I just crumble. I remember just doing like half a verse and just being like, can you just please just do it? And, sure enough, he's done it better than everyone in like one take. So,
bastard.
That's the guy. I know. So, he's super special, John. So, we love having around. Ella and John. So Ella worked with the Bamboos and was part of the Bamboos live touring band for a while, and John's been a long time sort of, he's like a silent, I don't know what he calls himself in the Bamboos, but he's in the press shots, but he's not in the band, so he works, he does so much for the Bamboos in terms of behind the scenes, makes all the albums, and everything, does all their sound, so he sneaks into the press shots, but he's not in the band, so.
What a guy to know, like, it sounds like, he does a bit of everything, but, it's cool that you can have someone like that you can work with who's so, amazing with the sound.
Yeah, super lucky, exactly.
It feels like you really allowed yourself to explore, all of your musical instincts across this record. There's just so much in there. It feels kaleidoscopic at times, but it's never crammed. It's really well balanced. What Was that part of the process to kind of allow yourselves to just kind of explore whatever the hell you wanted in terms of influences and instrumentation and all of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think so. It probably sounds a little more spacious, probably because there was less people, probably because it was just the three of us. And it probably does sound explored as well, probably because probably we just hadn't collectively released a lot of music over whatever period, you know, sadly because of COVID and whatever else, you know, like the same as like a lot of artists and stuff like that. So that's probably a big part of it, you know, having that sort of space and time. I guess time creates that sort of space where you do have a lot of ideas that you can, I guess, piece together. And, you know, when you say eclectic, I guess, you know, that's the nature and the fun as well of having, you know, I guess, a record that's made by, you know, a small collective of songwriters rather than, you know, sort of one sort of band leader or whatever, which is, you know, that does create a little bit of a different sort of dynamic in the studio and everything. So, yeah, that's where it's sort of come from. And as I say, like, we've always written together, but I think this time, once we sort of like realized we're accidentally sort of making a record, we sort of did sort of a little bit try to sort of do those things, a little bit sort of try, oh, okay, well, let's go like all in, like, and make sure it's a, you know, it's a team sort of thing. And yeah, I guess you can hear it.
It's also, you know, a lot of this album I noticed, and I've listened to it all weekend. I love it, for the record as well. It's a very
Thanks
sharp.
So much.
You're welcome. It's a very sharp critique of kind of modern consumerist culture. In particular, I think Stick of Sage is really sending up this kind of new age Byron Bays scene. I'm from Byron Bay, so I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like social media and Who Wants to Be, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What was that so interesting to dig into? Why was that kind of playing on your mind when this album was being created?
Yeah, look, I honestly don't know. Like, I'm a big fan of just sort of making the stuff, and then sort of like the stuff sort of almost like tells you what it's about along the way. That's sort of how I usually sort of go about it with all the songs and all the projects. Like, I feel that'll you know, the fun and the chemistry's there, and sort of as you work with the song, some of that stuff comes out as part of those things. You know, like, we learn about our own songs, you know, sometimes almost after or during the fact. But yeah, there is sort of like some of those things, they do bubble in and around the album. I guess the star of the show thing, like having that as the theme, the album, and the title or whatever, that to us was the fun of the irony of making something, you know, as a team. And like, particularly me and Ella are always pushing each other's buttons over, you know, like, who's the real like lead singer and Dawson Fins, because we both sing all the songs and whatever. So you know, we're just making that, we're just, you know, friends making a record together, but you know, the idea of having like the star or the me culture or you know, the instant sort of gratification that sort of, you know, is sort of the commonplace of, I guess, a lot of the stuff that we consume now is sort of, it's sort of at the center of that title. It's just a, you know, we're just having some fun with it, really. But we sort of thought that name suited the album best, because there wasn't really, we're all sort of clamoring to be the star, and really none of us were. So,
I love it. I love the cheekiness of that title. It's very cool.
Speaking of Stick of Sage, we're going to play it in a second. But can you tell us about how that track came together? I love that there's just so much in it. I love the harpsichord that makes an appearance. I love that one as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that one, we just like left it how it was. It was just a demo, and it was just funny, and there was just a couple of funny bits in it, and. And we just said, you know what, like, this is great, and we just went with it. And I think, you know, it was sort of one of the ones that sort of came off my hard drive somewhere initially. Like, it was one that sort of was floating on my sort of hard drives at home. And yeah, there was a couple of things about it, because I know Liam's got his great project that I'm sure you guys know about called Ex-Olympian.
Definitely.
And I'd noticed listening to his, because he'd released that not long before Door Spins, I'd noticed that he'd really gotten into, you know, that Baroque harpsichord, but in the pop music sort of idiom, yeah, more and more. And he'd gotten like really good at using it. I was like, wow, Liam's getting really good at using that sort of harpsichord stuff. And it was sort of already there. I already, in this particular track, I just happened to have that thing with the harpsichord. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, this is going to like fit with the Finns. So yeah, there's always sort of one or two things I'm looking for that sort of, I don't know, just a spark or two that, you know, you can sort of just build on. So yeah, it sort of came together really nicely. And John always does his thing to make it a bit more special in the studio. And I think we had some castanets in there floating around, and yeah.
Well, we're going to play it now. Stick around for a little bit longer if you're able to, Jared.
Sure thing, yeah. Yeah, guys, definitely.
Awesome. But for now, this is Dorsal Fins with Stick of Sage. That right there was Dorsal Fins, Stick of Sage, from their brand new record, Star of the Show. And we're so happy here on the Tuck Shop to have Dorsal Fins with us. How you doing, Jared?
Yeah, doing really well. It's a Sunday evening. We've just watered the plants.
Life's good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. We got the heater working as well. We had to get like the gas man to come around last weekend. It wasn't crazy. Like, I was really particularly worried about that event in my life in terms of the finance, in terms of how it was going to go, but it was like not too bad. It is getting cooler here in Melbourne, so it was an essential adjustment to make.
For sure.
But
it's a vital piece of the Melbourne year.
Yeah, we fixed that up. So yeah, everything's pretty good here. It's going all right.
Just quickly, the bass line in that song, which you were mentioning before, John did do some on the album, but you did that one. That was your bass line, and I was digging it so
hard. I legit did that one. So, like, that was me. There was no replaying of it. I'm sure there was lots of edits. I'm sure there was, like, lots of, like, you know, cleaning it up. But, no, for sure. I can definitely claim that one, I think. But sometimes you don't know as well. Like, sometimes you don't know after you leave the studio. Sometimes you don't know what's going down.
Whether he secretly recorded after you.
Sometimes best you don't ask questions and tell your friends it's your record and you're singing and you played all that stuff and, you know, this is an original song and just keep that line going.
Yeah, keep the scam going. This seems like such a joyful album, and you seem so happy to chat about it, and it seems to have just come from a very fun, joyful kind of place. Is this the most fun you've ever really had with a record, or at least a Dorsal Fins record?
I love making music in the studio with friends. It's always it can be hard as well. It's a strange, sometimes you can just have a funny day where it's like sounding no good or something like that. But Yeah, super fun, and we yeah we try to make sure that it's we try to make sure that it works for us. And I guess as well, when you have your own space, you've got time to head down to get your pho or your bakery goods or whatever like that. You don't have to be sort of grinding, you know, if you're looking at the clock being, you know, what's going on here. And so maybe COVID, you know, helped that in a way, you know, maybe that's a silver lining because there's no rush anyway. You have the time to muck around with it a little bit more. And we do all have our own spaces that we can take our stuff into. So, we love working together. It was a fun one to make. And I guess, yeah, as well, like I was saying before, you know, perhaps also because, you know, perhaps we hadn't all collectively made, you know, as much music as we usually would because of everything. So maybe all those little silver linings sort of come together to create something that sounds joyful. That's really cool. Like that's, I mean, particularly with Ella, I love singing with Ella. It's always to me super fun, especially with what we're doing at our gigs. We're always pushing each other to see who can do the kind of stupidest stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of silliness with what we do. And so, you know, probably that comes through in the music as well, which is kind of cool. And that's something that we treasure with it. So
awesome.
You
have tours lined up for this. I think there's one gig I can find at the Nightcat in June, maybe.
We've got our album tour, currently on an email thread with about 1,000 emails at the moment. So yeah, we've got our Nightcat, which is, coming up in Melbourne, so everyone can come down to that. Everyone can come down from Sydney. We can organise some buses and things like that.
Yeah. Can we just sleep on the floor or something? Yeah,
exactly. we'll definitely be up. We'll definitely be coming up to New South Wales. So, around those shows in June.
Yeah.
That'll be our sort of first album run for the record, so we're all super looking forward to that, playing the new songs. They've had a couple of runs and it's been really fun. We've had a couple of little festivals and shows in Melbourne which have been awesome, but I can't wait to get up to Sydney. Can't wait to get up to see the Byron Bays as well.
They're waiting.
So, yeah, there's definitely a lot to look forward to.
It's so great to talk to you, Jared. I've been a bit hungover today. Had a bit of late night watching my Liverpool team play. And this album was the perfect tonic to listen to.
Oh, that's fantastic. That. Yeah, so, I definitely can relate. I had a bit of a night last night as well. But, hey, that's what we got to do sometimes.
That's it. And Sundays are those days where you can just sit back, listen to music and recover. We want to play another track from your record, which for me is really suitable. It's not only one of the more sort of chilled and warm tracks on the record, but it's the last track on the record. It's called Midnight Blue. I always love laugh tracks on a record. Jules knows this. I always seek them out. I go to the last song. I want to hear how an album will finish. You know, I feel like the first and last songs are sometimes the most important. But there's some really good bass again in this one. Some warm trumpet going.
John. It's John.
Ah, there.
This is John.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was hoping it was another one of yours. But there's some nice harmonies and stuff going on here too. Yeah, Midnight. It feels like for me one of the real highlights in the record.
I love Ella's verses on this. This is definitely one of my favorite tracks as well.
Yeah, so we'll play that to round out the interview. But really appreciate your time today, especially on a Sunday after a big night. It's sometimes tricky to articulate. I'm struggling today, so I really appreciate your time as well.
No, thanks so much, guys. We really appreciate it. It's just it's always. Just lovely to me, you know, people who support your music, and very, very, very grateful and stoked to have a chat with you guys.
And we're excited because it's 2SER's feature album all week as well. So we're going to hear it all across the radio station all week. And yeah, can't wait to have you up in Sydney doing some shows. And you can sleep on my floor if you like.
Definitely. Well, hopefully we get to catch up then.
Yeah. Thanks so much. This is Dorsal Fin's Midnight Blue.